Nice.
You know what? Coach Dean Wilson, the wise one, Jeff Bray, and all, we're the hockey guys. Big Eddie Christian, the crazy Eddie. He is in Arizona for a wedding. That Christian family, they're all over the United States, and they're all getting married. Doc, we need to have you call in if you can. Welcome to the best college hockey radio show in the nation. 701-293-9000. 701-293-9000. If you have any questions, comments, opinions, let's hear them. Put your jersey on and let's go to town. Coach Wills, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, man. I've got, this morning, you know, jotting a few more notes. I got more shout outs than even talking about hockey, but I like to save them through the entirety of the show. There's some good stuff, you know. I got to throw out, you know, me, Carlstead, Minnesota, up by Thief River Falls, the deer camp. They're up there, hunting right now. Hopefully they're in the stands. Hopefully they maybe got the big buck already, but Twin Lakes Deer Camp. Uncle Nate, I hope you didn't doze off. Now stay alert now in our nice stand we got.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have the pleasure of having Doc Phil Johnson. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
You know, if I was any better, I'd be with you guys in the studio.
Well, that was nice, nice. And we're so happy you could join us today. We love you, buddy. Hey, let's... Cool. Tell us, what's your thoughts on the games last night, the games that matter, the top teams in the nation? What are your thoughts?
You know, in looking at them, I think the usual suspects won, although, you know, I would have to agree. You know, Eddie brought up this parity thing now with the portal, and I think we're starting to see certainly a bit of that. You know, Duluth had a big win, spanked St. Cloud. You know, North Dakota went to Omaha, and that's always a tough place for North Dakota to play. And they came out on fire, you know, and won 7-2. Denver went into the crazy Lawson Ice Arena. And I thought that was a little bit of an upset because Western had been a little bit on a streak. But Denver goes in and takes care of business and takes care of the Lawson crazy. So, you know, from the NCHC standpoint, I think things look pretty true. I was a little interested in that, how Michigan State was going to play Penn State, and obviously that was a battle. So Michigan State still is atop the leaderboard.
You take a look at, you mentioned Denver and Western Michigan. You know, the unique thing, you got number 9 Denver, 3-1 over Western Michigan, the 4th-ranked team in the country. But Denver had to score 3 goals in the third period to overcome Western Michigan's and win that game. But Eric Polkamp got the empty net goal. So it was a 2-1 game going into midway of the third period where Denver was able to pick up a goal. And then obviously Western Michigan pulled their goalie and there was an empty net goal towards the end. So the score being 3-1 is a lot different than what the game played actually was. You know, the game that I'll talk about is this. It's in the number 10 Wisconsin versus University of Massachusetts. Massachusetts won 7-4, but Massachusetts had a score of 4.
Yes.
What's that, Doc?
It wasn't Massachusetts. It's Michigan.
Oh, University of Michigan. Excuse me. I wasn't reading my notes correctly. But
7-4.
But the University of Michigan, a Big Ten challenge, yep. They had to score 4 straight goals in the third period and had 2 empty net goals to, against Wisconsin. So I think Wisconsin, when you take a look at the score, it doesn't really say exactly what the game was like. It was a heck of a lot closer than what it really was. What do you think, Wills?
You know, there's a lot of factors involved, you know, and I always talk about the different levels between pro, college, high school, where, you know, is there a sacrificial lamb? Who can you blame it on, right? Was it poor goaltending? Was it poor defensive play? I would say there's three breakdowns, right? The forward's already screwed up. The defense was screwed up. But a goalie screws up, it's a goal. So sometimes it doesn't play out like you're watching the game and go, man, he's just off tonight or whatever. You know. And, you know, I know, Phil, you were a goalie, so I don't want to just bag on goalies. But you're right. There's a lot of different factors. You know, I'm Wisconsin, for instance, with Hastings' staff, they're good and strong. They know what they got to do. They haven't punched it or gotten their stride yet of what they're probably capable of doing.
And, you know, I talked with Hasty this summer at the summer showcase in Minneapolis. You know, in the U.S. and Canada and Sweden, and they were there. He was really excited about this team. He said, "I think we've got a really good group, and I'm looking for some really good positive things." You know, hopefully they'll learn from this. I mean, that's a tough place to play. Yost Ice Arena can get really loud, can get really obnoxious, and those kids have to play through that. And I'm sure that's probably what happened, but. It'll be interesting to see how they rebound tonight. I would imagine they're playing tonight, or are they playing tomorrow? Big Ten is always a little different because they schedule around football. But it'll be interesting to see how they recover. I think Michigan is the real deal.
Michigan State?
Michigan and Michigan State.
I agree. And Western, too. I mean, all three of the Michigans.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean you know, the hockey world is really kind of centered in Michigan right now, but hopefully over time it starts to spread west.
You know, I'm 100% sold on Michigan State. I mean, they have from beginning to end, from the start of the season, they've been unstoppable. University of Michigan, I'm not quite sold on them. I think tonight's game, you know, who's going to win that game, Wisconsin or University of Michigan? That's going to be the Big Ten challenge right there. Hey, let's talk about the Gophers. Pulled off a victory 3-0 over Notre Dame. Catch this out, Doc. The empty net goal to seal the deal for the Gophers. The primary assist was Luca DiPasqua, the goalie for the University
Say that three
of Minnesota.
Times.
But, you know, here's the cool thing about the Gophers goaltender, Pasqua. Here's the scoop. DiPasqua. He's a junior, but he transferred from one of the Michigan schools to jump in, you know, a very, very young lineup for the Gophers. And you take a look at what he played, the games played the previous 2 years, Phil. I think collectively he played in 7 games. So he didn't get that much of an opportunity to play. But then he jumped in the portal. Minnesota picked him up. And now he's the man for the Gophers. So, you know, you take a look at the portal, players not getting an opportunity to play where they the team they were on for whatever reason. Maybe the guy in front of you was the stud and the next star in the National Hockey League. The portal transfer is awesome. But then when you take a look at Sacha Boisvert, former University of North Dakota player who averaged 0.86 points per game, 32 points, 18 goals, 14 assists during his career at North Dakota in 8 games, 1 goal, 4 assists, 0.63 points per game. So we see his production going down. Listen, we'll be back. We need to make some obscene amount of money here from our great sponsors on the best college hockey radio show in the country, the Hockey Guys. Coach Wills, the wise one, Doc Phil. We'll be back right after this. We got listeners all over the nation on our podcast. I'll tell you what, we're seeing them from Florida. We're seeing them from Arizona, Albuquerque, New Mexico, out east in Wisconsin, in the cities, in the western states of Nevada and California. Thank you for listening on Spotify and your favorite internet apps to listen to the Hockey Guys. You know, one of the unsung heroes that I've seen on North Dakota's team not picking up a lot of points yet, but he's in every play. Big, thick, physical defenseman from Moorhead, North Dakota, or Moorhead, Minnesota, Sam Lurillo. You take a look at his production on the ice last night with a heavy team from Omaha, a heavy team, thick, big CHL players coming down with a total makeover of Nebraska-Omaha's team. But Sam Lurillo, Doc, you know him well. He's one of those players that every shift he is on the ice, he's getting better and better, and it's because of his confidence that he's gaining.
I mean, I would agree. Sam is really one of those diamonds in the rough. You know, he isn't real flashy, but when he's out there, you know, the other team pays notice, and he does throw the body around. He does control it when he's on the ice. Yeah, I love watching him. I think he's a really steady influence back there on the blue line.
You know, for me, you know, I just think of hockey today with the transition. It's always a jump when you go to the next level. But last year in Minnesota hockey, high school hockey, I swear I was watching a college game. I'm watching teams. Yep. I'm going, wow, the skill level is like crazy good. And we always talk about the jump because it is a jump. You go from high school to juniors to college to pros, obviously. But it is a jump at the skill level. These guys like Sam, I mean, I watch them. I go, darn, they're good players.
You know, I take a look at that jump, and then we'll listen to Sam Lurillo's what he said during the weekly presser. But the jump, Wills, that you talked about from juniors into college is just not the speed of the game. It's the physical nature of the opponents you're playing for. You don't have the time to screw around the puck. You got to think before you receive the puck. You got to move it quickly. So all of those little things a player needs to develop, and he developed during the play of the game. But let's hear from Sam. Great, great press conference. The Moorhead Spuds should be proud of this young man. You know, you take a look at a young man, freshman coming in. Doc, he's a very well-spoken, confident young man, and he hit on the topics that we talked about. The learning the game, not giving up mistakes, the mistakes you can recover in juniors, but I'll tell you what, you make those mistakes at college or the next level in the NHL, the other team's going to capitalize and put the puck in the net.
Oh, absolutely. And I think people have to understand, too, you know, the time to think is at practice. The time to react is during the game when the game counts. I mean, I think sometimes too many of these kids get caught up in the thinking game, and they're late already when they're trying to think about what they're going to do. You need to develop that ability to react real quick through those situations and boom, knowing the right thing to do right off without having to think too much about it. So I think the future is really promising for him. I remember him watching him in high school, and there's something special, you know, about him. And I think as he continues to mature, he continues to grow into that body and get stronger with that program in North Dakota, I think he's going to be a real big influence back there.
I love what he said. You know, a mistake at the college and the pro level is a goal against you. You got to eliminate those mistakes. And then the other thing I liked is, you know, yeah, I read somewhere where you're at the level now where you earn the right to play under pressure and to eliminate those mistakes, you know. So that's good. But I just love what he said. I go, yep. You know, we watch it all the time. You watch a pro game and in the playoffs, I'll go, oops, it's a goal against you.
You know, one of the things I've been watching on Sam is this. He's winning those puck battles below the goal line defensively, and he's making the simple play, breaking out of the zone, not trying to extend the pass, not trying to make a fancy pass. He's making the simple play to get the puck out of your defensive zone. And again, it's those learning curves. And last night, Doc, you take a look at Omaha. They're a physical team. First man in was taking the body. And some of the North Dakota defensemen and forwards were flying down, you know, flying on the ice with the big hits. But, you know, when Sam would take a check, he stood up and he just gave it right back. He wasn't knocked off his feet. His edges on his skates and his stature being as heavy as he is, 180, 180, 90 pounds, he's not going to be knocked off the puck, and he's going to win those battles in the corner, and that's so important, Doc.
Yeah, and not only that, but getting that first pass out. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things that these young guys learn or have to learn pretty quickly. You can't be fussing around and playing around with the puck down in your end. It's one pass out and get up the ice.
I agree.
Yeah, and you take a look at a game last night, Colorado College versus Arizona State. Colorado College jumped out to a 3-goal lead in the first period. Drew Montgomery from Grand Forks picked up the first goal for Colorado College. Arizona State had to come back, 2 goals in the second period, a goal in the third period, ended up even up in overtime, but it was a 3-3 score. And that is going to be Colorado College and Arizona State are both going to be tough games to play for the top teams in the NCHC. They're, you know, CC and Arizona State right now, if you look on the standings, they're not at the top, but they should be. They're two of the top teams in the nation, and they're going to be two teams that are going to have a lot to say, Doc, in the NCHC playoffs when they come at the end of the season. And I look at Arizona State, their freshman defenseman, Lincoln Keene from West Fargo, big, strong, tough defenseman, similar to Sam Lorella. And we are going to have to get Lincoln Keene on our show. He is a well-spoken, very educated, good citizen. I've known that young man since he was a squirt player. And he is in the top 2 rounds of the NHL draft next year. May sneak into the first round because of his size. But you take a look at both Sam, you take a look at Lincoln Keene, 2 players, one from Moorhead, one from West Fargo, Fargo metro area, that are growing and making an impact as freshmen on their teams.
I agree.
You know, I'm sure Coach Mayotte was not real thrilled last night. I still contend that the 3-0 lead in hockey is the worst lead ever. It always seems to transpire into something bad. But I tell you what, you know, Coach Mayotte has been out there now a couple, 2 or 3 years, and he's developed that culture, I think, that they wanted to get. He's kept players around for several years. He's a great coach. I mean, we'll have to get him on the program, too, because he has a real interesting take on what to do to change the culture. He's originally one of the assistants at Michigan. And so
100%, Doc. I'm going to have to cut you off. We got 10 seconds remaining. Right. But listen, we're coming back with Kurt Olam, head coach of the Concordia Cobbers men's hockey team, winning last night in a shootout. We'll be back. You know, Wills, I could see you dancing at the bar wearing your UND football jackets right next to Dr. Phil Johnson wearing his UND football jacket on the dance floor, shaking your booties, both of you, to this song.
I have the album, The Knack, my Sharona. I got the album if you want to borrow it.
Well, I noticed you got a green shirt that says Lucky on it. Is that a shout-out to your lovely wife or what?
You know, no, it's not. It's I got to throw it out, Phil. UND and SU today for football, so I'm wearing my greens already to head up there. You know, so I got to pull go UND, but it should be one heck of a game.
Absolutely. I got my football T-shirt on, so hopefully hopefully the boys can pull out a big victory, but it's going to be a hard game to play, and it's going to be a big game for both teams, actually. So if North Dakota could win and pull off an upset, that would be huge.
Yes.
Well, we want to thank Brad Schlossman from the Grand Forks Herald, who asked Sam Lorella the questions during his presser on Wednesday. But we have the pleasure, the absolute pleasure, to speak with one of the top young coaches in college hockey right in our backyard. Coach Kirk Olam, coming off a big victory over Augsburg last night, shootout victory. game today, follow-ups, 4 p.m. today, I believe. Coach, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you're better than us after that victory last night, I'll tell you that. But, hey, visit with us about how your team's looking this year.
Yeah, it was a big win last night. It's nice to get a shootout W. Those have been tough to come by the last 3 years. It's the first MIAC shootout win we've had, I think, since I've been here. We were 0-3 in shootouts last year, and so to get that one was great. We had one last weekend, too, for the tiebreaker scenario in the Concordia Cup against Concordia, Wisconsin. We beat them on Friday night in regulation. They beat us on Saturday in regulation, and so in kind of a goofy deal where we did a shootout after that game to decide it. We scored two. The same two guys actually scored in that one, doing the exact same thing as they did last night, and buried both last night to beat Augsburg and get the extra point in the MIAC standings. So it was a nice win yesterday, 1-1, going into the shootout, and to bring it home was a good feeling. Now we got to follow it up with even a better effort today. But the boys are looking good. It's a great group. A lot of guys in new roles. You know, we graduated a lot last year, but I like what we had coming back as far as a core group, great leadership, and then some young guys stepping up, whether they're returners or else incoming freshmen. So it's been fun to see Dane Kuchar, Arak, and Nets. We got two other great goalies, too. We feel like we have three number one goalies, so that's a good problem to have. And, yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. We just got to play another full 60 today and string together a couple.
Well, the local boy from Moorhead, Minnesota, Cade Triggs, coach, got the Cobbers and your team starting for your team. Here we go. Let's listen to the play. Shorthanded goal by Caden Triggs with an assist by Ben Lidke, another senior from Wayzata, Minnesota. Shorthanded goal, coach. Anytime you can get a shorthanded goal, that gives you momentum.
Yeah, that was a big one, especially because our power play has been struggling. So, you know, we gave up a power play goal. It was a tough one. The kid just threw it from the far corner, and our goalie went to play it and went between his legs. So that's the only one he gave up. So to get that one shorthanded, it was a delayed offside situation, and their D didn't want to touch it. And then that sure worked out for us. Lidke made a good play to Caden Triggs. The announcer mixed it up and said Carson, but shout out to Carson. He'll line up tonight and hopefully get his second of the year and more. But Caden got that one. Just a great kid, just a big horse of a player. Can move big and strong, and he ripped a good hard shot and got the goalie's blocker and kept the momentum and went in. So no, it was huge. He's been a steadfast guy on the PK for us for 3+ years now, and so, you know, we know what we're going to get out of him every night. He's worked so hard, and great player. So yeah, it was a big one, and would have liked to get another one at some point. He had a great look on a couple chances on the power play too, so he's right there, and I believe he's leading our team in points now with 4 points in the 3 games, 2 goals and 2 assists. Hargindegi's got 3 goals in that first game, and then Ben Lidke with the big assist last night. 3 seniors on our top line that are looking to have big years and carry the load for us.
What I like is that when I look at your roster, I know the guys, you know, and Chris Trigg, the father of the two boys, you know, the two sons, is he's going to owe me a beer for this one, because I worked with Chris. He was driven. He was hardworking. And the old apple from the tree, I couldn't imagine those two brothers in there, because they'd be rock stars and grind up, be great leaders. And that's what's fun about looking at your roster, knowing guys. I see like a Blake Johnson. You got Jackson there, guys that are performing. You mentioned your goal coming up big when you needed them, but it's just fun to look at your roster. It's fun to go to a game when you know the players, and like I said, I give a shout out to the Triggs family and Chris, even though Chris will owe me a beer for that comment.
Yeah, no, the Triggs brothers are great. Like, man, do they work hard and get around the ice, they play with intensity. You know, just a couple penalties here or there maybe, but Carson absolutely flies around. I think he's gonna have a huge year for us. He wasn't able to play last night to the maybe a little too much intensity, but we got that dialed in. And yeah, him and Caden are quite the pair. The parents should be really proud of those kids. They're both straight A students. They're phenomenal human beings. I love talking to them. just great people and great hockey players, and both of them in phenomenal shape, take care of their bodies and work really, really hard. Can't speak highly enough about them. And you know, that kind of idea is what we're going for. And guys buy into that, they work hard, do well in school, be good people. That's what we're going for. Guys like Ben Lidke and Brady O'Brien, who are seniors for us and wearing letters, are good examples for that. But no, we've got a great group of guys, a lot from the area here in, you know, even Fargo-Moorhead area, but then around Minnesota too. So it's a good collection of guys who like to work hard and have fun together at the rink.
You know, we're going to visit here if we have enough time here, but quickly, the shootout goals, Blake Johnson, sophomore from Elk River, Minnesota, Jackson Lucia from Hermantown, another sophomore, Dane Kuchar, you can pronounce Kuchar from Little Falls, Minnesota. And let's hear the game-winning shootout goal for the Cobbers last night against Augsburg. And then you take a look at, you know, the crowd. You had a good crowd last night. Everyone was going crazy. Team was on the ice celebrating. You love that. Let's visit here, Coach, real quick. You had recruited last year. Elliot Bates had been following these players along with yourself for at least 2 years. I would say three, going on their senior years, even junior years, 3-4 years. And eventually, the Concordia Cobbers were able to land some stud Fargo Metro players as freshmen coming in this year. Let's talk about those players.
Yeah, you know, Noel Sinowski, stud goalie, who's going to definitely get some time. Dane Kuchar has been so good, but Noel's right there. Like I said, we got three number one goalies. We got Ian Ness from Moorhead, was in the lineup last night, buzzes around. We expect big things out of him going forward. Will Hofer, D-man, is banged up right now, injured, so out of the lineup, but he's been steady and just rock solid back there. Fulton Nestler from Fargo here. I think all those guys maybe won a state championship a little while back with Celis Shanley, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they did.
And you're putting me on the spot, rattling off all these guys from the area. I think that covers most of the freshmen from right here.
Do you got a guy from Jamestown?
You'd have to tell me the name.
Never pronounced right.
Nino was playing against us. He broke my heart and went to Augsburg.
He's dirt to us. But the reason I bring him up, he caught my eye with Jamestown. He was a good player. I thought he went to you guys. My bad.
Living in West Fargo, we have to mention any West Fargo players. You have a good freshman, unless he changes his mind at the last minute.
Yeah, I think he changed his mind at the last minute.
I don't want to say he's dirt to me, because that kid is a really, really good kid, and he really put his heart and soul into moving on to the next level. And
the Jamestown guy is a great kid too. So
100%. Oh yeah, they're all great kids, and you know, life takes different paths for everybody, and I respect all our decisions, and they're great people, and wish them nothing but the best. As long as we beat them on the ice is great, but otherwise I want nothing but the best for them.
100%. Listen, I'm going to give you a 10-second answer to my question, because we're out of time. Does the administration at Concordia College, do they appreciate how successful and the legendary hockey program that institution has established and what you're developing? 10 seconds.
I know they do, and we have a lot of good momentum here going forward. President Irvin, Rachel Bergeson, they believe in Concordia Athletics, Concordia Hockey. I'm excited for the future with those guys leading the way.
Kirk Olam, head coach, Concordia Cobbers men hockey's team. Thank you for joining the Hockey Guys today. 4:00, get on and watch the Cobbers play. And we'll be back to the Hockey Guys right after this. You know, the West Fargo player that I had spoken about, that I had watched for the last 4 years, Noah Deemer. Heck of a young man. I thought the world of him as a hockey player and his development and his commitment to the game. However, he decided to hang up the skates, and we've all done that in our life. And Jack Arnold, I just got a text from Coach Olam. Jack Arnold from Moorhead, Minnesota, is another local stud player for the Cobbers.
I still have PTSD from his father. His father played in the high school. What a great player. They had a batch of them, and then people go, he played too. I mean, people go, why couldn't you beat Morehead? I go, how do you beat Morehead when they got seven guys going D1 and three in the NHL, right?
Well, hey, you have a good, interesting story that's talking about football. Let's talk about some real quickly some high school football.
Well, you know, well, first of all, shout out to Davies. They're in the championship. They won last night. They beat Bismarck. And but my story, and I'm still chuckling today, Morehead Spuds won last night, and they're in Minneapolis. Kevin Feeney, I always have you on a pedestal. You're a genius. But here's the story real quick. They go to a pizza place. They order 40 pizzas. They get there. The guy said, I'm here alone. Some people didn't show up. Whatever the deal was, they didn't have any pizzas made for the kids. And they're angry, you know. They're kids. They got to eat, right? So Coach Feeney asked some guys, any of you guys know how to make pizza? And he had about five guys. A couple guys goes, you know, they go, I worked at Domino's. I worked at Papa Murphy's, you know. And then one guy said, I don't know how to make pizzas. He's flinging them in the air. These guys stepped up to the plate, about seven guys, and stepped up to the plate, made these pizzas, made 40 pizzas, made it work. You know, like I said, they made it look like a piece of cake. I mean, pizza pie, but it was just a great story. Kevin Wallabin covered it, and I just thought I had to share it today. Good job, Feeney. Good luck in the championship next week, and just hats off to Morehead Spuds football.
Team building at its best, huh, Doc?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, Dean, and you brought up that interesting little sidebar with all those great Morehead hockey players, you know, back in the day, and, you know, back when they made the big runs, you know, and I think that, you know, give credit due, it's Terry Cullen, you know, and he got that whole process started. And, you know, I think it's been really good for the communities. It's kind of made Fargo up their game a little bit. I wanted to add in a little different tack. Now, I wanted to ask Coach Olam if the NCAA changing the rules with CHL kids, has that changed his recruiting at all? I mean, I love the fact that he will take the local kids and get them over to Concordia. I think that's just awesome. That just builds a lot of interest in the program. But I was just going to ask if just changing that whole landscape now is made a difference. Does he get more interest from the kids up north or not? So I don't know.
Well, here's an interesting, because there's a thing called hockeythinktank.com or whatever. And actually, Dave Morville sent it to me, and I was reading it. But here's what a little bit maybe ties into your question, Dr. Phil. 194 guys entered the portal last year, but 40 opt out. They're in D1 and bumped down of those players. So to answer it, maybe it could affect. Anytime you're at that level and you get a guy that you should be at maybe a higher level, you're a national contender. I think you want to grab those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to make a quick comment here. As we were going to have Kirk Olam on for two periods for a total of about 25 minutes. However, he was watching video from last night's game to prepare for the 4 o'clock game with assistant coach Elliot Bates. So he was unable to be with us for two periods. But that's a great question, Doc. And, you know, Elliot Bates, Kirk Olam, head coach, assistant coach at Concordia, could answer that. I think for all of the D3 teams, since there isn't any D2, so D3 is stepped down from Division 1. I'm going to bring up a new subject. You take a look at the 17-year-olds playing college hockey, and you read a lot about who the top players are that are going to be selected in the first round of the NHL draft this spring. And coming into the college season, Gavin McKinnon going to Penn State, signing the big NIL, $750,000, allegedly his financial reward, commitment to go to Penn State. He was kind of the shiny object everyone was looking at. But I'll tell you what, Keaton Verhoef, Will Zellers from the University of North Dakota, and you take a look at Lincoln Keene from Arizona State University, all four of those freshmen into college hockey. Doc, I'll put it this way. Keaton Verhoef 1, Will Zellers 2, Lincoln Keane 3, and Gavin McKinnon 4. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's always a little bit of a roll on the dice and a crapshoot, you know, when you go to the draft. And it really depends on how those kids play this year. I mean, this is their year to really showcase their talent and their abilities to the scouts. There will be a lot of scouts at the Ralph Engelstad Arena up in the press area this year, you know, looking at him for sure. But again, you know, it's going to depend on how they progress through this year, and heaven forbid an injury or something that would sideline them. So I think the crop of the first rounders this year is pretty good, especially the top end. But don't forget the National Team Development Program. They've got a few players down there that are going to be very good as well. So it's one of those things you just have to wait and see. You know, the draft is until June. There's a lot of hockey to be played between now and then, and a lot of things can change, as we've seen. You know, people bumping up and down the draft order. So, you know, stay tuned.
Wills, you could be the nice shining object with a lot of promise in the future. You've had a lot of those players, right? Well, and the question is whether they got the commitment. And as you heard Sam Lorella talk about, every practice is important if you want to get better. And you look at North Dakota's team last night, 10 different players on the scoreboard with assists and goals, a depth team. That's where you're going to learn. Tell us about the progression that players need to make moving on.
Well, you know, one thing that I've learned over the years is that, you know, sometimes these kids are physically ready, but not mentally ready. And there's many factors. I used to be a coach of the Chicago Showcase, best 18-year-olds in the state, right? And we'd be in Chicago, and there'd be hundreds of scouts. And I go, you know, whatever reason, I was going, why are you guys here? But how you miss somebody? Was a guy injured? I had a guy, I won't mention his name, but I didn't think his ice presence was very good. Well, anyways, he plays on Team North Dakota. He wins the MVP of the tournament in Chicago. And the coach is going, I've never met a smarter, better hockey player. Sometimes you get locked into a player and there's something about it you can't get over. And they just needed a change, a fresh start, and they made it work, you know. So there's many reasons, factors why somebody might be overlooked. And you're right, that maturity, the progression, they grow up, they develop physically, mentally.
You know, you're right. The physical and mental development of these players are unbelievable.